Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. First of all, I want to give a shikayach to Shlomi Weiner, A.J. Rose, and Chaim Klein, Dr. Chaim Klein, for sponsoring supper tonight. Baruch Hashem, this is turning out to be definitely the most successful summer series of shiurim. And halavai vayta. I know there's a lot of competition tonight. There's two parlor meetings, and there's a barbecue, and a lot of other events to go to, but Baruch Hashem, Elam is here to learn. So in keeping in the theme of speaking about halachas that come out of the parsha, so there's a very nagedika halacha, a mitzvah deraisa, that comes out of this week's parsha. After the battle with Midian, we find called off. The pasuk says, discusses kashering the different metal kalim, and the pasuk says, "Aches hazoha ves hakosaf." This is gold and silver. Es hanechoshes, es habarzel, es habedil, ve es hayforos. Okay. Copper, steel, lead, tin, these different types of metals, called over asher yovoi ba'esh, anything that it can, that is used directly in fire, taviru ba'esh. V'toher, that's the din of what? Libun, being melaben kalim and kashering them. Ach, v'mei nido yischato, v'choel asher yovoi lo yovoi ba'esh taviru ba'moyin. This last part of the pasuk, called over asher yovoi ba'esh taviru ba'esh v'toher. And the pasuk says there's another tahira, b'mei nida shemei ani shetzarech. B'mar says hazar shlishi shvi. That's talking about tuma of that you need hazar shlishi. And then the Gemara says that you need what called over that the pasuk is talking about a tefillah in the mikvah. That any time the Mishnah says halakeach kleitash mishmin ha'ovid hekachavim. Eshedarko lahatil yatil lahagil yagil labein ba'or yilabein. So there's a chiyuv to do what, even if it's a new keli, if one buys purchases a keli from a guy, there is a chiyuv. Not most rishonim, this is not an asmachta. There are some rishonim that say it's an asmachta, but many rishonim say that there is a chiyuv midereisa to be toivel clay tashmish clay suda. The Gemara is going to explain. Kalim that are ostensibly purchased from a guy, and just like the Ritva says, just like there is a mitzvah of tefillas ger, when a guy becomes a yid, there's a gerus. So kalim also go through the process of gerus. If a yid purchases a keli from a guy, so going from the status of a Gentile's keli to a Jew's keli requires tefillah. It's only a gerus in the keli. So I'd like to really, I don't want to say a very long shir tonight. I'd like to say a very practical halacha shir, different shilas that do come up, and I'd like to discuss the different types of kalim, different types of materials of kalim, and. What I'd like to do is split the categories. There are three levels of kalim. There are kalim that require tefillah with a bracha. There are kalim that require tefillah without a bracha, and there are kalim that don't require tefillah in the very first place. Okay. Now, the criteria that has to be used, okay, in order to know. Right, to ascertain as to whether there is going to be a chiyuv of tefillas kalim, is two things. First of all, criteria one is what is the material of the keli? What is the keli made of? Okay. The second thing is what is the purpose of the keli? What is its function? Okay. So now, as we mentioned before. The material that the Torah discusses is what kind of material? 6 different types of metals. Okay? There are achronim that want to learn that the deraisa is only on those 6 specific metals. But lamashal, aluminum. Aluminum might not have a chiyuv deraisa. Most rishonim do not agree with this. Most places in Kumat, rubam kikulam hold that it's any metal is what the pasuk is talking about. It's just 6 different for instances of metal. The Gemara does discuss zuchuchis, glass. Glass also requires tvila. Now, why does glass require tvila? Because, as Rashi explains, because glass can be, even if it's broken, it can be reconstituted, it can be blown again and made back into a keli, and therefore it has the quality, it shares a quality with metal. In other words, even if metal is broken, metal is destroyed, right? But metal can be reformed back into a keli, and therefore we would have no, there would be no, there would be, it has that quality. Therefore, glass also reshares that quality. Now, when we talk about a bracha, okay, the chi of bracha is on all kalim that require tefillah. Even though we ascertain that on metals, pashtus nachmos rishonim, it's a deraisa, but on glass, it would not be a deraisa, it would be a derabbanan. Let's say you're only being tevil a glass keli. Certainly, right? Certainly you would make a bracha. What bracha do you make? So it's clear from the Aruch HaShulchan that the bracha, the classic bracha is al tefilas kelim, okay? Now, there are those that want to say, and the Aruch HaShulchan brings, there are those that want to say that if you're only being tevil one keli, right, you should say al tefilas keli. However, the Aruch HaShulchan paskins, and this is the minig, it doesn't make a difference. Okay? Even though kelim is plural and kli is singular, al tefilas kelim, but you still say al tefilas kelim. Now, of course, it is better if you have 2 kelim to be tevil on those 2 kelim. And also, if you have a klei zchuchis, if you have glass and you have metal, to make the bracha on the deraisa is also preferred. Now, so that's the materials that we so far discussed, glass and metal. Now, what if I have earthenware, stoneware, china? Okay. Now, if you look at let's talk about a simple earthenware. Okay, earthenware cannot be reconstituted. Okay? It's broken, it's broken. It's over. Okay? So if you look at if it's not glazed, if you have something that does not have a real glaze on it, okay? In other words, the price can talk about, let's say you have earthenware, cheres, and there's a glaze of glass upon it, right? So that glass requires tefillah. Now, will you make a bracha on that on that? You're not gonna make a bracha. That is going to be something that you'll be tevil without a bracha. But still, one is mechuyev to what? One is mechuyev to be tevil such a thing. If something is gilded or glazed with what? With lead, the place can talk about that. That also will require a tefillah without a bracha. In fact, the Ramah is mechuyev in the Ramah that even if it's on both sides, it's lead, but it's filled with what? With earthenware, with cheres. Over there, you also will be tevil it without a bracha. Now, there is a major machlokes hapoiskim about porcelain. Okay? Kli porcelain. So, the most of today's china is made of a porcelain and a porcelain enamel. Okay? That porcelain, according to many, many poiskim, okay? They don't need a tefillah in the very first place. I'm just going to read to you what the sefer Tefillas Kalim quotes. It says Ayin Piskei Tshuva Sifkot and Beis Vegilion Marsha the Yad Ephraim the Kahal Yehuda the Ikre Tshuva B'Shem Knesset Hagdola Yerideya Shelis Yavitz, they all say the Einam Tzrichin Tfilah. Porcelain does not require tefillah, okay? Which would mean that any china that you buy today, right, would not require any tefillah in the very first place. Why? Mitnesha in Yishperu, Ein Lahem Takana. If they're going to break, you can't fix it. Remember, yeah, we said that the quality that something requires tefillah is going to have to share is that you have to be able to reconstitute, be able to as metal and glass, okay? Now, he brings the Chain Pasuk Hagoyin Rav Moshe Feinstein. This is not in the Igros Moshe, but it is quoted in many different Svarim that Rav Moshe said that any porcelain or porcelain enamel does not require any tefillah. Okay? However, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Mishmer Sholoim, the Taras Yisrael, bring that one is, with the minig in Klal Yisrael is, okay, the minig in Klal Yisrael is to be tevel it without a bracha. That would be standard china, okay? However, bone china does not require tefillah, according to everyone. It doesn't need to require tefillah even without a bracha. Okay? So what we have over here is glass, metals require tefillah with a bracha. Okay? Porcelain, the minig is tefillah without a bracha. And bone china, earthenware, things, cheap mugs that have that really are not glazed, that have a matte finish, they have like a pottery finish, they do not require tefillah. Okay? If they're glazed, one should be tevel them without a bracha. Okay. That is in terms of pashtus, in terms of materials, the different types of materials. Now, crystals of glass, the smukas. That's a din of a smukas. Corningware would also have a din of glass. Okay. Things that do not require tefillah at all. Okay? Again, stoneware, wood, boneware, ivory. Now, I'll tell you a story that I heard from someone who was there by Rav Moshe. And he went to Rav Moshe and he said, plastic should require tefillah. Plastic could be melted and reformed again. If plastic could be melted and formed back into the shape of its original keli, so why not have the same din as chuchas? And the truth is, this happens to be... Thank you very much. That sound like a foghorn? Well, we're discussing material now. We are not discussing the type of keli yet. We said we're going to split it into two different categories. I smell the food of it. In fact, the Minchas Yitzchak and the Shor Mitzionim Bahalocha, Diane Brown, Rav Brown, both held that plastic would require tefillah. And but tefillah without a bracha, because why? Because even though it shares the quality of metal and shares the quality of zchuchis, but the Maaseh, the Gemara said zchuchis. The Gemara did not discuss plastic. Plastic is a new innovation. So my chavrusa told me this. He didn't see it, but chavrusa told me that Rav Zella Kovitz, who used to be in Long Beach, was in Manhattan Beach. He went to Rav Moshe and asked him the shaila. He said, L'chaira, plastic should have to be tevel plastic. Okay? And Rav Moshe looked at him, and he patched on the table, and he said, Ich betach machnish kinaya chumris. I've enough chumris, I beg of you, please don't make any chumris. However, and this the Friedmans are going to want to know, it is brought that it is a yekish minig. That they should, the Yekis are machmir on this, and they do tevel plastic. So, I don't know. I know you're saying Shira Malas and all those things at the chuppah, I'm not sure. But Lemaisa, we will, okay. Now, let us understand. Yes. Pyrex require is a glass, and it happens to have a mixtures of metal in some of them. Many Pyrex. Yes, you should tell. You should definitely tell. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Okay. Fine. Now, the criterion, Rabbi Sir, the criterion, the criteria for the type of keli that requires tefillah. The criteria for the type of keli that requires tefillah is that it has to be a clay suda. It has to be a keli that is used for a suda, for a meal. Now, what does that mean? That means A, it is a keli that comes in direct contact with the food in either A, the preparation of the food, or B, in the serving or eating of the food. Okay? So now, l'mashal, a pot that you cook food in, right, that you cook the food in, clearly that is in the preparation of the food, and therefore you are mechuyev to bitavel it. Let's say you have a type of a pot that the food never touches, a type of a cooking utensil that the food never touches the actual keli. L'mashal, let's say you have racks in your oven and you never put the food directly on the rack in the oven. If you never put the food directly on the rack in the oven, there's no chiyuv to what? There's no chiyuv to tail it. However, if you do, well, let's say you buy a grill and you don't have a mikveh around, what do you do? What would you do? You cover the grates with silver foil, right? And you cover the grates with silver foil, and you'll have no problem. What? You want to tail the silver foil? No. Why don't you tail the silver foil? Why wouldn't you tevel the silver foil? The pashtus is because it's not a keli. We're going to see that it has to have a shem keli for the other thing to be tevel. The little foil is not a keli. Okay. What? Okay, we're going to get there. Okay. Okay. Now, what constitutes, Rabbi Say? What will constitute preparation for the suda? Okay, what constitutes preparation for the suda? The shach in Simen Kuf Chof Sifkot and Yud Aleph says that which one opens a bottle or packages with does not require tefillah. Okay, and all the poskim say this, and they bring this, that any bottle opener, a can opener, a corkscrew, even if it touches the food, even if sometimes it's going to touch the wine, let's say a corkscrew or something, one does not require tefillah on such a thing. Okay? Because that's not something that's really in the preparation of the food. All it really is doing is unleashing the food. It's taking off the covering of the food. A can opener does not need. Okay? What about, and there's a very, very interesting shaila, actually a fascinating shaila, that the Tzilas Kalim brings a major, major machlokes over here. What about a nutcracker? There's one mechuyev to be tevel a nutcracker, l'chayra. You're preparing the nut. It's an interesting thing. We could maybe look at it as opening a bottle, right? This is the container that the nut is in, right? You're really not coming in contact with it. You're not preparing the nut. You're just opening. You're unleashing the nut. You're opening the shell of the nut. Okay. However, the Tzilas Kalim brings from Reb Shlomo Zalman that a nutcracker requires tefillah with a bracha. Hello, Dikazach. He brings this mafurish from Kach Shemati. He says Kach Shemati. May I go in Shlomo Zalman Arba Shlita. Right. Okay. And now, he says a very interesting thing. So he says, let's say you don't bring the shell to the table. If you don't bring the shell to the table, so it could be, you don't, over there you don't need a bracha. But when you actually crack the nuts at the table, Right? That's remember, it has a shem of a klei hasuda. It has a shem of a klei suda, and therefore you're mechuyev to be tevel it with a bracha. A tablecloth? Oh, very good. We're going to get to that. Okay. They're 100% attached to it, but one second. Let's understand something. So let's say. Okay, one second. We're going to get to it in a couple of minutes. Okay. Now, Reb Moshe Feinstein Bechlal holds, he doesn't understand why a nutcracker should need a tefillah at all. And therefore, what one should do is one should tevel it without a bracha. Okay? He's mesupik Bechlal why it should need that at all. Now, what if you have a keli that prepares the food, lamashim? You have a pot, right? The pot prepares the food to be ready to be eaten, right? You have a cucumber peeler, right? You peel the cucumber, it's ready to be eaten. Okay? That zikha needs tefillah. Okay? No question about it. That needs a tefillah. But what about a potato peel? Let's say you use something exclusively for peeling potatoes. When you peel the potato, it's not going to be ready to be eaten. This is preparing it to be cooked to be ready to be eaten. Over there, the Paiskim all say that is not considered a klisuda. That is not something that prepares it for the suda. That prepares it to be prepared for the suda. It's like over the memela, one is not mechuyev to be tevel such a thing. Now, there are many, many practical cases that we could talk about that are big shilas. Lamashal, let's say you have an urn. Okay? An urn, you immerse an urn in the water. Every single urn that you can buy says that they're not responsible. There's no warranty if you immerse it into water. You immerse it into water, you're going to ruin the mechanism, and therefore you are not allowed to. One has a problem with taking tevel. Now, I will tell you that there is a famous heter from Rav Hankin that none of the latter day poskim really assume that it's. We don't go with it at all. One should not go with it. I'm just going to tell it over to you. Rav Hankin held that if something is used, the only way it can cook, or the only way it could be used, is if it's attached, if it's plugged in. It's an electric appliance. So since it's when it's plugged in, so you plug it in, it becomes mechuba l'karka. If it becomes mechuba l'karka, a keli that's mechuba l'karka doesn't have a shem keli, you're not mechuyev to be tevel. That's what? Only if it's grounded, I hear. What, being attached to the thing? I don't know who did your construction. Okay, I know who did your construction. He's in the room. Okay, however, that's a very, very weak heter. I can tell you the following. This is very nageya to, I'll tell you what, this is very nageya to a sandwich maker. Okay? This is very nageya, and I'm going to tell you a very interesting thing. It's very nageya to a toaster. It's nageya to what? A crack pot. One should not be soymach on this heter. I can tell you the following thing. There are two ways, Rabbeisai, there are two possible ways that one, okay, there are two possible ways that one can do this, okay? Really three, but whatever. One way would be to take apart the appliance in a way that only an uman could put it together. And if you're an uman and you're a really handy guy, you can put it back together. Then it's as if you made the keli. If you made the keli, it's no longer a goy's keli. It doesn't have an identity of being a goy's keli. It's a new keli. You made it new. That's really not a very practical consideration. Another way would be when you sell your chametz to sell it to a goy. Okay, goy owns the keli. You're not mechuyev to be tevel a goy's keli. You can use a goy's keli. Okay, I can tell you that I was at mechiras chametz. And the Rabbanim do Mechiras Chametz. We do Mechiras Chametz together, most of the Rabbanim in the neighborhood. And we're all in Brooklyn, basically, sometimes in Queens and for Rockaway and Kukule. It's not your keli. It's not a Jew's keli. It's a Goy's keli. No, you borrow it from me. Yeah. And Rabbi Yisrael Reisman was selling the Chametz for Reisman's Bakery. So not only did he sell the chametz for Reisman's Bakery, he sold all the trays for all the cooking trays, all the baking trays to the guy because of What? Yeah, they were, it was a difficult time. They were very big. They had just bought new ones, I guess. I don't know. And it was a difficult thing. Mimela, they bought it for Kashul Pesach. They bought it for Pesach. Anyway, this is a bad joke. I'm sorry. Okay. Fine. Now, I want to tell you the following thing. The fact is that if you tovel these urns, you tovel these electrical appliances, and not all of them, let's talk about an urn. If you leave it out and you let it dry, it will work 100% fine. I've had many urns in my life, used them many, many times, done it many times. There is no problem. You can tovel it. Don't tovel it with the plug in it. That would not be smart. Well, that's certainly not plugged in. Why do they keep breaking? That happens to be planned obsolescence. They just want you to buy a new one. It has nothing to do with the fuel, I guarantee it. Okay. Now, what about a toaster? A toaster is not so simple. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a toaster. And Rav Moshe calls in Hebrew, he says, toaster in Tzarech Tfilah. As a tshuva. If you want to look it up, it's near the Gimel, Simon Chav Dalet. And he says, the Dvar HaToaster, Lanias Daiti Ein Tzarech Tfilah. The Hare Isa, Bavai Dezara, the Klei Suda Amurim Beparsha. Uleklei Suda Nechshivu Dvarim Shehu Tzarech Lesuda. Mitzar habishul, af she'ein mevi in oisam l'shulchan u'makam hasuda. Kli suda are things. Either you bring them to the suda and you use them in the suda, your fork, your knife, your spoon, your plate, right? Serving trays, right? That the food goes directly on, or something that needs for the bishul of the suda. Udvarim she'ein mevi in bahem esmine ha'oichlin u'mashkin ma'ashulchan. Aval ha'toaster she'miyavshim sham pas ofui. It's already baked, the bread. All you're doing is drying it out. Okay? You're drying it out very well. You're burning it a little bit too. The toiv, v'roi l'achilas kol odon, ein l'achshivoi tzorech hasuda b'shvil mashiyei sheroitzim liyavish hapat. Because you want toast? That's not, it's roi l'achila before that, it's really not a tzorech hasuda. No, an urn, it's not true. Hot water is in gansan and under a bear. If you need the bishul of the water, that's bishul. Okay? Okay. What? Well, you can do other things. Melting cheese is not the same thing. It's a different type of cheese. It's a different thing. He's calling toast. I think he's only talking pashtus about the toaster that the pop-up toasters, okay? And over there, Moshe is mekel. Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah, the ones that have the sandwich makers, you can pull the things out, the pieces out, and you can tell with those. That's not a problem. But a keli, that's one piece of keli, okay? You're not allowed to be toivel part of it. You know, you can't just toivel the part of the urn, right? Just put, you have to toivel the entire keli. Now, one thing that is a very, 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 very shchiach tikashayla is disposable keli. Disposable aluminum pans, aluminum is pashtus, a metal is a chiyuv d'oraisa. Let's say it's something that... We're off the grill now. We're not on the grill anymore. We're off the grill. Okay? The question is, what about aluminum pans? Rav Moshe, in one tshuva before the tshuva about the toaster, Rav Moshe says the following thing. I'll quote. Bim Kane, Kalim, he wants to say that something that is used and is disposable is only used once, doesn't have a Shem Kalim. It's a big issue. So he says something that if the whole world uses it this way, okay, as a one-time thing, okay, so in Cain, Kalim Elu, and he says a very interesting lashon here, the Velt Nem Zeran, She'i Efshel Eshtamish Bohem Af Al Pi Adchak Rak Beis V'Gimel Pomim. Al Pi Adchak, you could use an aluminum pan two or three times, but you can't really use it more than that. That's what he's saying. Einam mekablim tumah. It's not something that's a mekabel tumah. So therefore, it doesn't have a shem keli. Rakim efshel eskayim harbe zman. Ach bishvil hazoil ein mishtamshin. Let's say you have something that it really could last for very long, but it's so cheap, it's not worth it. That you need tefillah. That requires tefillah. Okay, and that's what Ramosha Paskin. Ramosha Paskin, if you use it for one time, and it's something that doesn't have a shem keli. So the truth is, even if you use it a second or third time. Right? There are some paiskim that hold that if you use it a second or third time, that you what? that you mechuyev tevel it already, because now it's already not chad pa'ami, it's not one time. Rav Moshe seems to be saying it doesn't have a shem keli even the second or third time either. It's not the pshat that you made it ois chad pa'ami. He's saying that it doesn't have a shem keli. Mele, one can certainly be samech on Rav Moshe over here, and one does not really have to would not have to tevel those materials. Aluminum. And you'll leave it in there. It's the same thing. That's the same thing. Using it another time, cooking it again. Right, right. Precious. Yes. Okay. Now, what about if you have a jar of mayonnaise, right? You buy a jar of mayonnaise, okay? You buy a jar of whatever it is, a can of, and you want to use it again. You want to use a tin can. You're going to use a can of whatever to cook eggs. Many people have egg tins that they cook. That my grandmother used to. I don't know if they have it anymore. They have a tin that they cook. They used to cook their eggs in, right? You have to cook three eggs. You can't cook one egg alone, right? So yeah, they used to use a tin like that. I don't know, one of the mother's fish jars or something like that. Not jars, the tin. And to use that l'chayra, one would have to table that thing. And many poskim hold that once you empty out the keli and you use it another for another thing, so now you have to be tevelit. That's plastic. Okay. Okay. However, there is a heter. I don't believe it's in the Sefer of Rav Moshe, but it's brought from Rav Moshe. It's a very interesting thing. He says these kelim are used just to empty out, just to store and to empty out. Once they're done, they're supposed to be thrown out. Now you went and you go and you make it. You're going to use it for something else. That's like you created a keli. It's like you made a new keli. If you made a new keli, so now it's like you created a new keli. It's your keli. It's not a guy's keli anymore. What?
Let's say
it's not made for that. Okay, it's not made for that. If you would, it's Lamashal. If you made brewed beer, right? And you had beer, and you made glass beer. If they would have to buy it, if they would buy beer from you, they probably would have to table it the second time because the pashtus is that sort of thing. You understand what I'm saying? Now, Rabbi Sai, what happens? Now, I must say the following thing. And every time, I think I've only given you share once on Steelers Kevin, it must have been 6 years ago. But there happens to be a ridiculous disinformation campaign, that for some reason, I don't know, some bubba made up a story, that the first time you have a keli, you don't have to be matriach yourself to go to the mikveh. You have one shot at it, right? That is a farce. It's not true. It is an... No, it could be. That's why I always thought that it came from this thing. That Moshe said, if you use, right, it's like the word. It's something that's made for one time. You could use it. So you could use it one time. Okay. It's the case. It's not. So you're a shaita. Bokum dies as a I don't mean you. I mean, the question is objectively, does it have a shem keli, right? I didn't mean you're a shaita. I'm sorry. Okay. So now, what happens if you realize, by the way, can you have kelim in your house? Vasishkin by lecha avlo. Now, you know what that? There's a pasuk. Vasishkin by lecha avlo. L'mashul. You know how to have something that you might come to do a davera with, right? Right? So l'mashul, you know how to have a pasuk of sefer Torah in your house, right? That's why why do we put the gatel around the outside of the sefer Torah? Because otherwise, vasishkin by lecha avlo. You might learn from it, right? What? Television, a computer, all these things. Can you have a non-tribal keli in anything? So the Mishnah Berurah Paskin, the Mishnah Berurah in different place Paskins that it's not also to have, but the person should obviously be cognizant of it. But let's say you make a mistake and you pour soup into a soup bowl that wasn't tribal. Or your wife brings the new china, she serves the Shabbos meal, the new china, and you sit there and you say, we didn't table it. What do you do? Okay. What do you do? The halacha is you're not allowed to use the keli. Even though the food is not osur, the food does not become osur, right? Even though there's a chiyuv to be table, pashas midaraisa, but the isur, okay? The isur of eating out of a keli is really an isur d'rabbanan, but since it's an isur d'rabbanan, one is not allowed to do it. So what do you do? What can one do? Okay. Bidiyeved, okay, obviously the best thing to do is to transfer it into another plate that was taivel. That's obviously the best thing to do. Okay. If you have dry food, lamashal, chicken or meat, okay, the place can say that you can take it out with your hands or take it with a fork or a knife that was toiveled, or a plastic fork and a knife, you could use that. Okay? If it's a dry thing, because if it's something that's dry, it's not so once you take it out, it's as if it's in a different keli. If it's in your hand, it's as if it's in a different keli. Labashal, there's such a svara where you have labashal by nida, where you're not allowed to eat out of the same plate, right? But if you take it and you hold it in your hand, and then you eat from your hand, right? That's directly eating it. So then it's considered as if you're eating from your hand, not from the same keli. Same idea. What about soup? Soup, you're up a creek, okay? Because soup is a liquid, you're really, by definition, eating it directly from the plate, unless you have a keli, a spoon, or something like that, that was tifled or it's plastic. Now, let's say you go to a restaurant, or you go to a hotel, okay? There's a very, very, and yechayshish, you're not sure if kelim were tifled or not tifled, okay? Now, or let's say you go to someone's house. And you're not so sure they know about Tzilas Kelim, or they're not so sure about Tzilas Kelim. But you're not 100% sure. If you're 100% sure, you're not allowed to eat out of those Kelim. You have to do your plastic fork, whatever, and if the soup you just pass on. If you're Mesupik, okay, if one is Mesupik, the halacha is, it's a Svek Svekim. It's a Rabbanon, excuse me. Since the Isser to eat out of it is only a Rabbanon, and you're Mesupik, or if you aren't 100% sure, right, If something was tayvul, so the halacha is, since it's a suffix derabbanan, one could eat out of the one could eat out. Now, going to a restaurant or a hotel, and this halacha is going to be more nagat to those that own restaurants. I don't know anybody who owns a restaurant over here. There is a very big shaila, and it's something we spoke about on a Friday night. Let's say what is called a klei suda? A klei suda is called something that I buy to use at my suda. But let's say I own a restaurant, I own a hotel. Or a diner. Okay? I'm really buying the kelim to make business out of. I have no interest in eating out of the kelim. Other people are going to eat out of the kelim, but it's really made for schayr. Okay? The same thing is true. Okay? Let's say you go to the Buzz, or you go to Focus, or you go to any of these stores, right? And you buy kelim from them, right? The halacha is, they are not mechuyif to table those kelim. As long as the kelim are in their rishus, they bought it from a guy. As long as the kelim are in their rishus, there is no chiyuv. Right, he bought it to sell. Right, the same is true of pashtus, of many paiskim. Okay, with a person who owns a restaurant, not only a person who sells kelim, but a person who owns a restaurant, he's not mechuyif to tayvel his kelim. In fact, someone who owns a restaurant, it's a very big shail if he's mechuyif. He should be tayvel his kelim without what? Without a bracha, because it could be it's not clay suda, even though it's used as a suda. It's clay schirus. Okay. Now, this has a... Wait a second. Let me just finish. Doesn't make a difference. He's using it for business. That's what the idea is. Okay? And therefore, in his possession, doesn't have a chiyuv. Okay? Now, the person who's... Hello. If I'm eating the... I don't have a chiyuv to tovel the kelim. The shayla is the owner of a chiyuv to tovel the kelim. I'm eating from his kelim. But his kelim were not his clay suda. His kelim were kelim for schiris. One second. Let me just finish the thought. Okay, if that's the case, in Kena Manachna Rabbeisa, I guess we're not going to get the chumash today. If this is the case, so if you go into a restaurant and you're not 100% sure if they tell the kelim, the pashta says you could eat. It's also a suffix to rabbanan, but kubita says b'chal no chiyuv to kelim. Now this is very negeh to another halacha. What is it negeh to? Let's say you go to the store and they say they're going to be tovel it for you. Okay? So you go and they tovel it for you and then you pay for it. What you just did, you have no right to eat from those kelim without toveling again. Because you go to a store that sells kelim. That's not even a suffix. They're vada not mechuyif to sell to be tovel the kelim. They go and they tell you, Lamasha, you go to the Buzz and you buy an urn. They say, okay, no problem. We're going to be tovel for you. And whatever. Or we tovelled it already. A lot of times they say, we tovelled it already, right? You can't do that. Because the fact that they tovel doesn't help you. Because when they owned it, when they owned it, they didn't have a chiyuv to tevel. So the fact that it dumped into a mikveh doesn't mean anything. Now you bought it. So you had the keli that was bought from a goy. Now it has a chiyuv tevela. The fact that it was in a mikveh before doesn't help you. That's as if the goy tevelled it. That's not a tevela. So what the halach is, and I think most stores are wise to this already, what they do is, they make you pay first, and then they'll tevel it afterwards. And they'll tevel it for you. But if they tevel it before, one cannot do it, yeah? Doesn't make a difference. Because it's not a tevela. That's not a tevela. That's like a... Let's say a guy goes swimming. Okay? And then he decides to become a ger. Right? He went swimming already. That's the same thing. There's no chiyuv. Yeah. Okay. I can't hear what? Shatnez? No. Is there shatnez or there's no shatnez? That the Isser is having the shatnez. Over here, there's a chiyuv to be toivel. If you toivel without the chiyuv. So the pashtus is once you bought it, you didn't do it for skiris, and now you have a chiyuv. So what you should do, you're right. So what you should do is bizaycha to him, be kind of him. When you buy it, bizaycha to him. Yeah. Okay. 100%. You buy from a Jew 100%. Why? Because if the guy is kailin that the Jew bought the schiras, so now you have it for kailin suda. It doesn't help that you bought it from a Jew. If you bought it from a Jew, a private Jew, that's fine. Because he used it, he already titled it. But otherwise not. Okay. Fine. Okay. I mean, we just have 5 minutes left over here. I wanted to speak a little bit. I really wanted to speak for about 40 half hour about this, but I guess not. There is a fascinating parsha here. Parshas Matos, the parsha of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, and the shaila is very, very difficult parsha, and I really am not going to do it justice because I really need more time. But the pasuk tells us right after Shlishi, when the Mechuber or Shishi Matos, Umikne Rav Hoya Lebnei Reuven VeLebnei Gad Otzum Ma'od. Mikne Rav, they had tremendous amount of Mikne Rav. Vayiru Eseret Yazer, Eseret Gilod, Vihine Hamokoy Mekoy Mikne. They saw in Eivra Yardin, before they were going into Eretz Yisrael, they saw that the land was a land that was fertile, it was a good land for pasture. And Vayavoyu Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, Vayayimru El Moshe Ve'El Lozor HaKoyen, Osir Edo Leimu Atoreis V'Divoin V'Yazer V'Nimro V'Cheshbon V'Ole. All these places, Ha'aretz Asher Hiko Hashem L'Snei Adas Yisrael, it's an Eretz Mikne, V'Lavadecho Mikne. The Avodim have Mikne. And this is a Soif Parsha, and a Naya Parsha starts. V'yoymru matzanu chen v'aynecha yutan es ha'aretz hazois l'avadecha l'achuzo al tabirenu es ha'yad. In matzanu chen v'aynecha, we find chen in your eyes. Let us stay here. So the first question one has to ask is, why are the two parshas over there? First of all, they make a statement that says nothing. They had a lot of mikneh, and they came and they said, you should just know this land is good for the cattle. Okay, it's good for the pasture land. New parsha. Another thing, it's a very strange thing that if you look in the Chumash, you'll see Pasuk Dalet, after Pasuk Dalet, there's a Samach, and then it starts a new parsha. What's the new parsha? It should be the same, a continuation of the same thing. So I'm not doing this justice. There's a lot more to say, but what? But I'd like to share with you a fascinating thought. Okay. First of all, why is Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven? Why do they have more cattle than anyone else? Mikne Rav. Second of all. Who's to say that in Eretz Yisrael is not going to be better? It's Eretz Zavas Chol Avudvash. Right? It's going to be better land. So what are they? The first thing they saw, oh, this is good. We'll stay here. We're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Strange thing. The third thing is, Elma, you're going to tell me that they saw it was good here. Maybe it wouldn't be good in Eretz Yisrael. But at the end of the day, they end up having, before they get the land, they make it tonight, and I go to Reuven, they have to go in, fight, and then Lemafreya was their land. So they could scout out the land. They could scout out the land and see, maybe they're talking something better, I'll stay there. So I'd like to share with the Olam the following thought. There are many terutzim as to why, there's different terutzim as to why when they go to Bnei Reuven had more cattle than others. Rabbi Yonasan Eifshit says the following thing. The Medrash tells us that Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, first Bnei God will talk, had very unique characteristics. They said, we don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Al tavireinu es hayarden. State in Chazal, what was the pasuk says? V'hamon kizra God. The mon was like God. Kizra God, like a seed of God. What does it mean it was like a seed of God? Says the Medrash, just like the mon doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael, God doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. They stay in Arvismon. What's the pshat? But God had a sheiches, a gewaldige sheiches to the mon. Not only that, to the midbar. In fact, Reuven, we all know, in Parshas Vayetze, Reuven went out. Vayelech Reuven bimei ktsir chitim. The Medrash says, he went out and he got dudoyim. What was the dudoyim? The flowers. And those flowers, he came back, right? And what happened? Reuven went and Leah used it and she Rachel and who was born? Leah bought it off Rachel and who was born? Yisachar was born from this. Fascinating thing. The Medrash says Chanoich lenar al pi darkei, gam ki yazkin layosur mimen. You know, Chanoich lenar, when he gets older, it doesn't leave him. Yutan es ha'oretz hazois la'avodech. The Medrash comments that Reuven that went be make tzir. Bimei Ktsir Chitim went out to get to Doim is the same Reuven that asked for land in Arvis Moyen. Zok Tribyon Shunayvsh, it's the following thing. God was Shayach to the Mon. He was Shayach Kizra God. What does it mean he was Shayach to the Mon? So, Rabbi, I'm going to go a little over time. We have to know the following thing. There were two Doiris that the Pasuk Pasha talks about. The two Doirais are the Dor HaMidbar and the Dor Bo'ei HaOretz. The Dor HaMidbar was a Dor that were Oich LeHamon. They were a Dor that were Ponim El Ponim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Moshe was Pe'al Pe'a Dabarboi. And then Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael. The Dor Bo'ei HaOretz was on a lower level. The Dor Bo'ei HaOretz no longer had Mon. They were no longer Oich LeMishulchan Gavoya. They were no longer what? They were no longer expected to be totally consumed with Avodas Hashem. They had to be Vasafta Diganech. They had to go to work. They had to work the land in Eretz Yisrael. Two different generations. God was Shayach to the Mon. God and Reuven wanted to remain away. They wanted to remain away. Just like Tzirchitin, Reuven went away. And he went and he picked jasmine in the far off lands. He was whatever his avoida was, it was an avoida of not being kibbor he'oretz, cloistered away. We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu, b'schus Moshe, what happened? That there were three gifts: is the be'er, the anonim, and the mon. The Be'er was B'schus who? Miriam. The Anonim Yaakovit, B'schus Aaron. The Mon was B'schus Moshe. Says the Helikah Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz, all the other Shvatim complained about the Mon. Of a God and Reuven, they didn't complain about the Mon. They wanted the Mon. If you didn't want Mon, what do you have to do to eat meat? You had a Shech Behemoth. But God and Reuven wanted them on. They were dovek at them on. Memela, they had more mikne rav. Zok tevienis and aipshitz. Dosed of pshat. And as Rabbi Shul lays this and says this, mikne rav doesn't only mean they had a lot of cattle. It means umikne rav. They had a kinyan in the rav. They were dovuk in the rav. Umikne rav. They had a gevaldik kinyan in Moshe Rabbeinu, and they wanted to remain where Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be buried. In fact, it's a Rashi in Chumash. Rashi in Chumash says in Parshas Devarim, in Parshas Vezos HaBrachot. Another 2 minutes. Come on, give us the pasuk. You laying it 1,000 points on the no? Vezos HaBrachot. Well, the God Amar, come on. Baruch Marchid God Tilovi Shochein, the Torah of Zroyav Kodkoid. Vayar Reishis Loi Kishom Chelkas Mechoike Ksofun. Vayar Reishis Loi Kishom Chelkas Mechoike Ksofun. Who's Chelkas Mechoike Ksofun? Zok Rashi. Who's going to be buried in Eivra Yardin? Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why they wanted that chilek. Umikne Rav. And that's why it's Lamafreya. They didn't want that there should be in Lomdus, there should be ever Moshe Rabbeinu should be without them. But they shouldn't be there. Memela, that's what Bnei Gora Bnei Reuven wanted. Bnei Gora Bnei Reuven were dovok. And if you look, by the way, you look in the Kriyas HaTorah, you'll see, when your Rav said, you'll see, in all the cities, HaTorah, Svediva, and Viyazav, and Imra, what's the last thing? Unevoi uva'oin. Yeah? What was in Nevoi? Who was buried in Har Nevoi? Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Nevoi. Says the Hatagam Unklis, Ubalidvava, Vesima, Ubeis Kivurta de Moshe. The base quote of the Moshe. I'm not giving it justice. There's a lot more to say. But Umikne Rav is the pshat. That God, B'nei God of B'nei Ruvain, wanted that there should be dovuk in the Rav. And this is a gevaldika limut. That's why the two parshias are separated. First they say, this is a pasture land. It really had nothing to do with pasture. They made a statement. It's a ksusei nayim. The next parasha is the parasha in Matzah. If we're going to find chen in your eyes, why do they ask Moshe? We're going to find chen in your eyes because they want to be in that land, because that's where Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be buried. That's the separation of the two parashas. Rabbeisai, it teaches us one thing, a little bit. There's a gevaldik inyan. There's a gevaldik inyan that a person has to realize that he has to have a moral authority. Whoever it is, it doesn't. There's a yeshiva, there's a yeshiva where he learned. It could be a god, whoever it is, a person who's his moral authority, asei l'charev. And the truth is that we are breeding a generation. The Welt has bred a generation, generations of people. I happen to be lucky that I went to yeshiva that is very focused on the idea of Rebbe Talmud. But we have a world, it's a bocha's world now, you know. A bocha could spend a year here, and 2 years here, and a year there. Chodesh can Rebbe. It's a very important thing. It's an important thing to be mechanech, our children, that asei l'charev. Everyone has to have a Rebbe, everyone has to have a moral authority, everyone has to have something that they're dovuk in. And a person has to realize it's a gevaldik shmira, and it's something to live up to. It's something that a person has to realize. That's my moral authority. That's who I take guidance from. That's who I, and it's something that a person has to know. And that's something that umikne rav. We should all be zeichet to have that dvekus in our rabbanim. Okay. Shukar.